I was thinking about it as I was writing my sermon. Thanksgiving is just an odd holiday. It's a holiday where people cook for 12 hours and everyone eats in about 12 minutes. To supposedly celebrate a made-up story about pilgrims and the people they swiped an entire country from. You know, it's kind of become more of the holiday where we all sit and watch football in a parade. The November edition of the Johns Hopkins newsletter asked, what does Thanksgiving really mean to us 400 years later, aside from the fact that it's a lovely, fun commercial holiday and sells lots of turkeys? Perhaps we're even asking, in another year of hate and innocent lives lost, what's there to be thankful for? And I admit, it's been a rough few years. And the world looks scary right now at times. So I sat down to think mindfully about what was there to be thankful for. I don't like brainless platitudes. What was there to be thankful for? I used to wince during Thanksgiving celebrations at school when, I don't know if any of you go through this, but you had to sit around the table and it would go to each one of you sitting there squirming and they'd want to know, what are you thankful for? Please tell everyone at the table. And it usually came down to some kind of embarrassing version of this. I'm thankful for my stuff. I'm thankful for the people who gave me the stuff. And I'm thankful for emotional stuff, like love and support. Thanks. Amen. What do you say when you boil it down that far? What are you thankful for? I've got stuff. Hallelujah, Lord be praised. But you know what? The stuff we have isn't really our stuff in any kind of cosmic sense. Some of us have more, some have less. It's all the stuff that makes up the universe. So it's the universe's stuff, except the universe doesn't care where it puts its things. So some of us got a whole bunch, and some of us got that cruddy space in the corner where there isn't much. The universe doesn't sort out where its stuff goes. So some of us have lots of stuff. We have warm houses and safe houses, and we have great food to eat. We have jobs and bank accounts. We have clean water. Our kids go to school in cars and buses and trains. They have books and computers and toys. Our schools aren't falling down, and under it all are words like white privilege and unfair distribution. We hear them all the time. Oh, Lord, for what I have received, I am truly thankful. But, okay, I don't know how to feel because I have so much and others have so little. Oh, Lord, what do I do about my stuff? Should I be thankful for it or not? And, Lord, I admit it, no matter how much I have or I don't have, sometimes, you know what, I just want to enjoy my stuff. Can I just be thankful for a change and not guilty? I'm tired. But I know, oh Lord, that others of us don't have much stuff. And actually, I don't have much stuff. Some of us have no stuff at all. So we do the best we can to get stuff, and we hang our heads when others try to give us stuff because someone told us that it was more blessed to give, and we can't give much right now, or so we think. But I got thinking about what Carol and Lois said the other day about giving and receiving. Because giving and receiving both have incredible worth. And sometimes you can't actually tell which is which. The mother and daughter in our second reading today had something bad happen. The girl's father died. He was part of their stuff, and then he was gone. And mom didn't have any quick answers. But what she did was to give her daughter the gift of finding hope. The gift of finding those rays of lights in what could be a really scary time. It doesn't mean that the dark or the bad isn't there. It means you choose not to be defined by it. And for her daughter, it gave her a reason to look for the good, to look for the positive, no matter what. As human beings, we are called to help heal the brokenness of the world. We're responsible for continuing loving creation. And giving and receiving is one way to do that. It's funny, in Judaism, the word for charity is translated as justice also. They're the same word. When we give, when we receive, we're doing cosmic justice. We're redistributing the universe's stuff that it left laying all over in a way that's a little more fair, a little more kind, a little more equitable. It isn't one-sided. The person receiving is giving us the gift of allowing us to be just. We're blessed because they receive. I have what I have in small part, and you have what you have in small part because of what you've done. But in large part, it's an accident of birth and circumstance, what you were taught, what school you went to, how you learned. I was born in the right time and place so I might not live in a war zone and have to drive a Vespa. And I'm thankful every day for the things I've been given by the universe. Because thankful isn't really about just the good. You heard in the reading, being thankful is about both thanks for and thanks in spite of, which seems counterintuitive. The Huffington Post explored this idea last November. In that article by Michael Brown, it explored it much better than we can put together in a small service today. But Brown writes, Thanksgiving was first established by a president and legislators who had lived through the Revolutionary War, witnessed the birth pains of a new nation, and later presidents and members of Congress issued proclamations of national gratitude during seasons of social and economic peril, the War of 1812, when the Union was again vulnerable and under siege. Lincoln officially established Thanksgiving as a national day of celebration right in the middle of the Civil War. There didn't feel like much to celebrate. And Mike Brown looked at centuries before all that. A man named Paul wrote to one of the earliest colonies of Christian believers, the Thessalonians, and he suggested they give thanks in all circumstances. Now, some of you may have very little information, but at that time, being Christian wasn't exactly a survival strategy. It was a good way to get hit in the head with a rock. And yet, he's telling them, give thanks in all circumstances. This wasn't easy to do when you were hiding in a cave. The members of the first century faith community of Christians were viewed with suspicion. They lived in fear. Paul seemed to understand, as Presidents Washington did, that being thankful is something we do because of and in spite of. It's a vantage point for interpreting life rather than a commentary on your stuff, emotional, personal, actual. It isn't about being grateful because you have the stuff. It's about deciding to live in gratitude and finding the stuff to be grateful for. The world isn't an easy place right now. It's complex. It can be frightening. But even now, our blessing jars would not be empty. We have a world where sexual harassment runs rampant, and we also have the Me Too movement, where women and men are speaking out bravely. Brett Kavanaugh may have gotten confirmed, but Harvey Weinstein got arrested. Climate change may be real, but the ozone layer is healing. Mass shootings happen, but the survivors from Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School use their grief to mobilize an entire nation of young people, and they voted for the first time. When we find the blessing, as Brown says, we find the because of, we find the in spite of, we find peace. And that gives us back the strength and the courage to take action to fix the world. Give joyously and be thankful to have a chance to make something better. Receive with happiness because you're letting someone else give. Because I don't want you to sit and curse the darkness around you. I want you to get up and light a flamethrower. Find your blessings this Thanksgiving, those because of and those in spite of. Be blessed. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen.